So last time we covered Sif Aleph. We mentioned how we have to make the strong contrast between one's home and one's sukkah on sukkahs, and that sukkah has to really be your diras keva, other than this, and the home is one's diras arai. It's being recorded. Okay. We showed that a number of ways, and we have to be very careful not to undermine the sukkah. And you can claim it's your diras keva all you want, but if you do things that belong to be in the sukkah and are outside of the sukkah, you're going to end up messing that up. And we also spoke about teal and shinon a little bit. We talked about learning Torah a little bit, but now we're going to turn to focus on Sif Dalid, which was the next thing brought up in the Torah. But we'll go to Shulchan Aruch Sif Dalid and Tafrei Shalman Tes to focus on learning Torah in the sukkah. So Shulchan Aruch says, Kol Sheva Hayam Korei Velomed Besocha Sukkah. So somebody should be reading, let's say Tanakh, right? That's what Korei generally refers to. Learning, and also learning in general, the Rama adds in, inside of the sukkah. Okay, so you're supposed to learn in the sukkah. However, when you go and you analyze that what you had learned, the yomod, yachol, lomod, chutz the sukkah. But when you're going and you're learning that, so then you're allowed to do it outside of the sukkah. So if you read the Shulchan Aruch, what does the Shulchan Aruch say? Let's take out the words of the Rama. Ukishamevin medaktik mashi yikra, chutz the sukkah. Gadesh tehei daitom yushabas alav. Now, he doesn't say you're allowed to leave the sukkah as much as he says you should leave the sukkah, okay? Right? The Rama added in that you're allowed to leave the sukkah. We're going to come back to that in a moment. I just wanted to note that. That's the difference between the Shulchan Aruch and the Rama over here. And then, in terms of tefillah, hamispalo, ratza mispalo b'sukkah, ochot b'sukkah. In terms of tefillah, though, davening, right? That you could either do in the sukkah or outside the sukkah. That's your call. This one is apparently up to you, your own decision. Right? This is up to your own devices. Okay, so now let's talk a little bit about this. What had the Gemara said about learning, right? The Gemara had said, you're supposed to learn in the sukkah. The Gemara says, really, is that true? We bring a steer, right? That says that you're not supposed to learn in the sukkah. And the Gemara gives some sort of chiluk. The Gemara distinguishes between iyun and migras, right? Between learning in depth, seemingly, versus learning on a light level. Now, there's different formulations in the Rishonim about what it means to learn in depth, right? But I'm not going to go and trouble us over, like, what exactly counts as learning in depth and what exactly counts as learning, lightly. Let's just assume we know. Iyun is in depth. Girsa or migras, right? That's going to be learning on a more superficial level, just learning through something for the first time. Okay, so now, which one is which? One of them is supposed to be in the sukkah, one of them is supposed to be outside the sukkah. Which one is which, right? That's not clear from the Gemara. And in fact, there's two different opinions. So the mainstream opinion brought by Rashi, the Rif, the Rambam, the Rush, right? Many Rishonim, all say that it's supposed to be that Eon is outside of the sukkah. Okay? Eon's outside of the sukkah, and Migros is supposed to be in the sukkah. Last time we talked about whether or not it's supposed to be an absolute chiyuv, that if you're doing, let's say, this light learning outside of the sukkah, are you mevatel on a say? Or no, it's not that you're mevatel on a say, just it's a kiyum mitzvah when you do it inside. And like, it's supposed to be inside, because why not? But Eon is supposed to be outside of the sukkah. Okay, so now let's discuss within this side what the potential options might be. Why? Why is it that Eon's outside of the sukkah, right? There's different ways to take that. Why would it be that it's outside the sukkah? So one perspective is that Rashi, Tosfos, the Rush, and other Rishonim, that say it's because you're a mitzvah. Here you are, trying to learn Torah. You're trying to learn in depth. And it's very uncomfortable to do that in the sukkah. And in fact, there's different formulations in the Rishonim as to what the reason is that you're a mitzvah. Rashi and Tosfos both speak about having more space, having avir. Okay, they don't mean that like you have like air. Obviously, you have air everywhere you go, otherwise you'd be dead. And we don't mean that it's in the sukkah there's less air. If anything, the sukkah is closer to being outdoors. What do they mean by that? They're saying that it's too condensed in terms of the space. Generally, sukkahs are pretty small, right? People don't have so much room. They don't necessarily have massive courtyards to go and build a sukkah in. So even if they do, they don't necessarily make big sukkahs. So the sukkah is small, it's compact, and therefore you're uncomfortable. You need more area for you to be able to focus properly, to be able to go in depth in your learning. Therefore, because you're mitzvah to learn that eon inside of your sukkah, you're potter min sukkah, and then you can go and do your eon outside, right? Teach we can to do, we have a right to go and do whatever you pretty much want to do. Just when you're doing home-like things, you're supposed to do them in the sukkah. Unless the sukkah is preventing you from doing those things, at which point you have the right to leave the sukkah, and that's the case of eon. So that's how Rashi and Tosfos formulate it. The Rush also says it's because of mitzvah, but he formulates it in a different fashion. The Rush says because you need to be misbodet. You need to have your own personal isolation, your own space. And in a sukkah, it's pretty crowded, right? Everybody's in there. Teach we can to do, everybody's living there. You and your kids and everybody. So you need to be able to focus. You need to be able to have your own time for introspection, for analyzing. It's very hard to do that if, you've got a baby pulling at your leg and, everybody else is all around. So the Rush makes it sound like more it's about having your own private space. Now, you don't necessarily have to say there's nafkminas. They're both really just saying that it's mistar. But if you wanted to say there's nafkminas, right, it's pretty clear. Let's say you have a very big sukkah, but it's very crowded, right? So Rashi and Tosfos might say, oh, that's a big sukkah. You already have enough space. It's like a big base medrash. And the Rosh would say, no, that's not good because you're not going to be able to focus. Okay, but either way, what they're both fundamentally saying, those two shitas within that side, of, okay, so again, to speak out here, I'm not using the board here, but you guys will follow me, right? So one way to understand the Gemara is that Eon is outside the sukkah, and Migros is inside the sukkah. So Eon's got to be outside the sukkah. Okay, why? One camp is that, is to say that it's because of Mitzdayr. How do you understand why it's Mitzdayr? Rashi Tosos, because you need more space. Rush saying because you need to have your own private space, and that's the one way to take it. Now, there's another way to understand it, even if you understand that it's Ian supposed to be outside the sukkah. And even if you understand, so now you don't have to understand it as being about Mitzdayr, though. There could be a different understanding, okay? And that, presumably, would be, as we had presented last time a little bit in the Rambam, right? That it's not necessarily that because I really have a chiv that I have to do this, inside the sukkah or not. And that now I'm stuck because I can't do it here, so then I have a tour of Mitzdayr that I'm allowed to leave. But rather, I don't have to do it in the sukkah. If I want it, I do it in the sukkah. It's a kiya mitzvah. And when the Gemara then says that Eon should be outside of the sukkah, the Gemara is not saying, oh, because you have a tour. You have to do it in the sukkah, but here you have a tour. Rather, it's saying that you should leave the sukkah. Not that you're allowed to leave the sukkah because you're Mitzdayr, but rather you should leave the sukkah because it's going to share your learning. Talmud Torah takes primacy. Yes, you could fulfill this kiya mitzvah of learning the sukkah, but you know, you could do that a lot of the time and a lot of the day. Right now, your goal is to learn Ian. If you learn Ian in the sukkah, you're going to be unsuccessful. You're not going to learn your Ian right. So if you want to learn the Ian, so learn the Ian right. And then it's you should leave the sukkah to go and fulfill the mitzvah of learning Talmud Torah more adequately. Now, why is that significant? Let's look back at the Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam. What does the Shulchan Aruch say? Leave the sukkah. He says, leave the sukkah. Allah the Rambam. The Rambam's formulation of also, you note that in terms of all the other Dinah Mitzvah, the Rambam has early in the Parak, Talmud Torah comes in Parak Vav Halacha Tes, when the other ones were like in Beis Gimel Dal. Why is Talmud Torah over there? Because it's different. There, it's a formulation of the Rambam's halachos telling you when you're supposed to leave the sukkah. Not like you're a mutter, there's a heter for you to leave the sukkah. Here, you never had to be in the sukkah in the first place to learn Torah, according to the Rambam. But it's a nice idea. So for your girsa, you know, when you're learning in the Bikiyas, do it in the sukkah. But if it's going to mess up your learning, no, you don't realize how important Talmud Torah is. Learn it properly and learn it outside the sukkah. You're supposed to leave it outside the sukkah. So that would be a different way to understand it. If you all look at it in this one perspective, that Ian's supposed to be outside the sukkah and Girsa is supposed to be in the sukkah, fine. And we spoke about it now, the difference between the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah, presumably. The Ramah is going after the Ashkenazi, Rishonim, right? Rashi, Tosos, Rash. And the Shulchan Aruch is going after the Rambam. So either way, let's look at another perspective in the Gemara. Right? That was one way. The Ron quotes Yesh Omer, he's brought in the Beis Yosef, right, who says that no. It's that Eon is supposed to be inside of the sukkah. And Girsa is supposed to be outside of the sukkah. Okay, what's pshat in that? Like, what do you mean? Won't you not be able to focus? Isn't their metzias true? Like, it's very hard to focus when you're inside of the sukkah. So, like, how come I'm supposed to dafka do my Ian inside of the sukkah? What's pshat in this? And by the way, if you want to know who this Yesh Omer is, it's Rabbeinu Chananel. I mean, the Girsa is a little messed up, but Rabbeinu Chananel holds this. They're on Kote Yesh Omer. So it's Rabbeinu Chananel, presumably, and also the Rivav. We have the Shita's Rivav, the nephew of the Baal Maor, in the back on the Rif. So the Rivav also says the same thing. Okay, so now what does this mean that Ian's supposed to be in the sukkah? Why is that? They explain as follows. Because what are you supposed to do in the sukkah? We've already enumerated this a bunch of times. Diras keva type of things. Which one's the keva of your learning? Which one's the one you think on? Perhaps even quantitatively, you might spend more time on it. But certainly in terms of like which one is the focus of your learning, which is the crowning point of your learning, the one that actually makes you be maven davar midov davar, not like memorization. The in-depth learning. Therefore, learning Torah is a keva type of action. And comparable to achila. Achila, keva, you have to do in the sukkah. Achilas are right, you can do that out of the sukkah. So comparably, achilas keva is true. So is limud keva. Your actual ikker learning is supposed to be done in the sukkah, according to Rabbi Chananel. And that's why you must do it inside of the sukkah. And the other thing, though, you know, your gear, say your bikini, your stomach, or you're waiting on the bus stop, go right ahead, go do it. Right? You know, the scanning through the first time limud, that's not as big of a deal. That you can do outside of the sukkah. Now, you should know one fascinating opinion before we analyze this machlokas more. The Ritva understands Rashi and Tosfos' camp as that. And he says, your Iker learning is your Bakias. And therefore, that must be in the sukkah. So if you want to understand it back to Rashi and Tosfos' side, right, that, oh, Eon's supposed to be out of the sukkah, Bakias is supposed to be in the sukkah, the Ritva says, that's because, like the reverse of Rabbeinu Chananel. What? He doesn't say Mitzdayr.
No, doesn't Rashi say that?
Yes, I mean, he's not explaining Rashi and Tosfos. I'm saying in that camp. I mean, to look at the Gemara saying Eon, the Gemara has a suffix. Well, let me start. We are not clear how to read the Gemara. The Gemara says Eon is one, Girsa is the other one. So which one's which? So what I'm calling the Rashi Tosel camp, meaning that side, is that Eon's out and Girsa's in. So now, why is that? So the Ritva uses Rabbeinu Chananel's idea with an Eon being in and Girsa being out as explaining why Girsa should be in and Eon should be out. the Ritva thinks that your Bikias is the Ikar, right? But nobody actually holds the Shita. The Ritva is just speaking out the two sides. He doesn't actually hold it himself. And nobody, as we've seen, Rambam, Rashi, Rush, Tosfos, nobody actually says it's because of that, right? It's because, like, your Bikias is the more Ikar one. So what it really comes down to, and I want to point out something fascinating, is that everybody agrees, really, except for this one odd Ritva in explaining that camp. Rashi and Tosfos and Rush and Rambam agree to the Rabbeinu Chananel's Yesod. Which one's the Ikar of your learning? Your Ian. Your Ian is agreed to that. However, Rashi does say, yeah, but it's going to get messed up because of Mitzvah. But they both agree that which one's your Keva in your learning? Your Ian. Good to know, right? Good to know. Now, you might even argue quantitatively, maybe I spend more time on my Bikias, because how else am I supposed to know Ian, right? You know, breadth equals depth sometimes. You can only actually do it once you have a lot of Bikias. Nonetheless, which one's the key point? Which is the one that, you know, in the same way somebody could work as a doctor for 9 hours a day and learn for 2 hours a night? But which one is Arayim, which one's Keva in his life? So comparably, your Ion should be your Keva. That should be what you think about all the time. It's the one that involves you. It's the one that is what your Bikias is actually there to accomplish, is for your ear. Okay, wonderful. So that's how to understand this. Because we saw how the Ramah and the Shulchan Aruch each paskin. How do we paskin al chamaisa in terms of doing these things inside or out? So now, the Magen Avraham says it depends on all the situation. You know what I mean? Like, you gotta know yourself. And in fact, the Ran had said even earlier, when the Ran brought this Yeshomer, and the Ran said you should be Machmer for both, assuming it's tenable. And indeed, that's the way that most of the Achronim are paskin the halacha. Oh, very good. To do both in the sukkah. To do both in the sukkah. Now, you might ask, oh, if the other one's arai, isn't it undermining my kvias dira? No, that's not how it works. Same way achilas arai doesn't undermine your kvias dira. So also, if you do girsa in the sukkah when it's arai, it doesn't matter. So basically, halacha lemaisa, we are, you know, machmir to do both if possible. If possible. Now, obviously, you have to know yourself. This depends on every individual. If you find it hard to learn Iyun in the sukkah, so definitely, when you're doing Iyun, come right to the base medrash. Gdolei Hador did it. Don't feel bad. However, if you have a really comfortable sukkah, and in fact, the Prima Gadim says, Ashrei Mi, that goes and brings a tanor into his sukkah. And many of the Gdolim, the Brisker Rav, and I think the Chazon Ish, lots of the Gdolim brought a nice heater into their sukkah to make themselves as comfortable as possible. Plan accordingly. Make it so that you have a nice, quiet, private space. And that way, Efshel Lekayim Shneim. Why not do both? Why not do both if possible? And that way you could learn both. Yeah, I'm sorry. According to the Rambam. The Rambam's whole idea is that because you should leave the sukkah because you won't be able to concentrate as well. But let's say you've got a fantastic sukkah, which is as good as the base medrash. So ideally, that's the prima god and the Ashrei Mi that's able to accomplish both, right? So is somebody, so praiseworthy is such a person. And you should know, there's actually, oh man, I didn't bring it here. Oh, you know what? 1 second.
Yosef, do you have a Mishnah Berurah?
Oh, the Dirshu Mishnah Berurah brings, a few interesting points about this. Why are you not chayiv to build your sukkah like this in the first place, right? After all, we know you're not allowed to build your sukkah in a place where you're going to be mitzdayer. We know you're not allowed to build your sukkah in a way that you're going to be mitzdayer initially, right? So how do you understand this idea that, like, you're not chayiv to build it in the first place this way? Let me clarify, right? Everybody with me, I'm just making sure I'm not getting blank looks, right? The idea is that I'm not allowed to build a sukkah, like, you know, in a place which is freezing cold, and, oh, I'm putter from a sukkah. No, that's just, you didn't build a good sukkah in the first place. So also over here, how come I'm building a thing which, in certain cases, will make me mitzvah? But I think that's the answer. I mean, the Dirshu Bunda goes into it. If you want to check it out, you know, I'm not actually going to read it now, just because we're running out of time. But what I would have thought, the simple chiluk is that there's a difference between one thing which is always mitzvah, and one thing which is going to sometimes be mitzvah. Like, if you're learning Iyun, then you'll be even mitzvah, as opposed to this thing, where, like, I don't have a chiv to build it, so that way, if I'm ever learning Iyun, I'm going to be mitzvah. I think that's a simple chiluk to explain why you're allowed to do this. Okay, so that is in terms of Shinon. Did I leave anything else about Shinon? I don't think so. Right, so Alech HaMaisa, we aim to do both if it's comfortable, but don't at all feel bad if it's not comfortable. I mean, like, if there's other people in the sukkah who are playing a game, which they're allowed to do, and which says is a good thing to do, right? But you're trying to learn, and, like, you're just not able to focus, so go to the base medrash. Don't even have any stacking doubts. Oh, how come I'm not fulfilling the mitzvah? No, you should go to the base medrash. But if you're alone, and you've got a really comfortable sukkah, and you're able to focus outside totally well, and it doesn't bother you, totally learn the sukkah. Why not? Great. So now let's turn to the last item in Sifdal, and with that we'll conclude that we have Hamispala, Ratzel Mispala, the sukkah, Ochot the sukkah. So now, in terms of tefillah, you're able to daven outside the sukkah if you want to, or not. It's up to you. So now, where's this based on? Actually, the Gemara doesn't talk about tefillah, right? I mean, you guys are all bakiyim now in sukkah. You know that the Gemara doesn't mention anything about tefillah. So how does tefillah factor into this? So the Rambam is the one who says, and that same halacha about Talmud Torah, the Rambam is the first one, I think, to my knowledge, who mentions tefillah. And the Rambam says that this very line, the Shulchan Aruch is quoting from him, that it's up to you, it's your choice. Okay, so now why is this different? Why is this different than learning? By the way, some could make a diuk, right? If the Rambam says that your tefillah is a choice, it's up to you whether you want to or not, that implies that Talmud Torah was not a choice. It's up to you. Again, you've got to leave the sukkah to maximize your Iyun Torah. You're supposed to leave the sukkah to maximize your Iyun. Right? Again, I think that still is tempered down a little bit by saying, but if you really could learn Iyun as well in the sukkah, so you're allowed to. It's not like you have to leave. But I'm telling you should, so not to stir your learning. So in terms of tefillah, the Rambam says, it's up to you. Your choice. And now the Shulta Geborim brings that if there's a shul in your neighborhood, though, then you should daven in shul. I think his main point is saying, because, after all, why should you miss minyan, right? Isn't that a bigger factor? So basically, like, you could if you want to, or not if you don't want to. So, but if you have a shul in your neighborhood, which I think we all do, right, so then you should daven in shul. And the Shulta Geborim also says, but if there's no shul, then you could do either. But nonetheless, he says, your Kriya Shema should be in the sukkah. I mean, then dafka, your Kriya Shema, you might as well go and do it. It's short, you're able to focus in there for a little bit. Kriya Shema requires kavana. But how much kavana does it really require? Only just the one sentence that actually is anchor in terms of the kavana. So that you should at least do in the sukkah. So now, why is this true? Why do you have a choice? And with this, we'll conclude. Why is it that you have a choice to do it in the sukkah versus outside of the sukkah? Like, what's pshat? What's this hinged on? So now, I actually think that there's a machlokas achronim here. So the Taz tells us that it's because since all year long, you go to shul, right? So it's not within your teshuva can you do. Davening is not a home act. You leave. You go to shul to go and daven. So also over here, you're potter because it's teshuva can you do. It's not the type of thing that's supposed to be done in your sukkah. You only have to do things that you're doing in your sukkah that you generally do in your sukkah. This, you have every right to go and leave. Teshuva can you do. Go ahead and go to your shul. The Gra says something different, though. The Gra says it's because it requires kavana. Meaning to say, it sounds like the Gra is going back to that mitzvah pshat. That here I need kavana, but I'm not able to focus on the sukkah. Unless I can, right? That's up to you. As opposed to Talmud Torah, where we like pretty much safely say that you're not going to be able to focus on your Iyun. Tefillah, it depends on the individual. Some people are able to daven better outside, you know, out in the fresh air, right? So you might prefer that. So everybody's got to make their own choice. But the difference between the Taz and the Gra is that the Taz is saying that it's from Teshuvah came to Duru, and therefore it's just not included in what's normal for you to go ahead and do in the sukkah. Like, it's normal for you to leave the sukkah, so you have right to leave the sukkah. And the Gra says, no, really, you're supposed to do this in the sukkah. However, you might be mitzvah. Like, you might not be able to focus. But if you could focus, then you can. So now, what would be a nafkamina? What about something like havdalah? The Achronim I'll talk about, you're supposed to make havdalah in the sukkah, right? That's an aspect of tefillah. So do you do havdalah in the sukkah? I mean, we're all probably familiar, many of us have the minhag, right? But wait one second, why do we do that? If it's teshu came to duru, to leave, so according to the Taz, so like this, you do in your house, right? You generally do this now, so you're supposed to do it in your sukkah. According to the Gra, though, if you're not able to focus, you know, you're mitzvah, you know, it's freezing cold, and you're not able to properly focus on the brachos of Havdalah, perhaps, so then maybe you would be potter in that scenario, and you're not supposed to do it in the sukkah, and you could do it in your home if it's more comfortable there. Yeah, sorry.
You have to have some kavana when you do
Right, so now, there's probably not the same requirement for kavana, but nonetheless, if you want to have kavana, and you're mitzvah from the fact that you're not able to have kavana, then maybe you're allowed to leave. I mean, it's not like a bad thing to have kavana during tefillah, contrary to, maybe, the minagola, right? You're allowed to have kavana during tefillah. So, here's another nafkamina, right? Let's say you could have kavana, and you have a minion inside. So according to the Taz, yeah, you're still not chayiv to go to that minion. Like, why should you have to go to that minion? Who cares? Like, teshuva kein tedur is to leave your sukkah, so you have a right to leave your sukkah. According to the Gra, no. Teshuva kein tedur is to do it in your house, also here. And here, if I have a minion in my sukkah, there's no reason to leave the sukkah. And if I have kavana in my sukkah, so maybe I'm supposed to do it in my sukkah, and that should be the conclusion. I think it's very, very clear what the minhag olam is. Everybody leaves the sukkah to go and daven in the shul, perhaps because we can focus better. And either way, the Shulchan Aruch only makes it an option, so whichever one you could do better. But I cannot imagine any of us feel that we can better daven in the sukkah than we should with a minyan in tefillah. But tzibur is certainly a very, very high value. So in terms of that, in terms of psak halacha, we should definitely daven. I mean, again, it's your choice, but in light of the Shulta Gemara, right, if you have a shul, you should definitely go to your shul. That's pretty clear how we should pass in halacha.
What about Kriya Shema?